making sure that everything works and functions well for all of our speakers and sharers and singers and so many things. Children, thank you for all the work you've done to help lead us in worship and help share with us and teach us. And especially thank you for those verses. Those verses, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are what Jesus called the greatest commandments. And those reflect back on what we've been studying in here for the last 4 weeks together. We've been studying the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments, you can break them down basically into those two commandments. So we've been looking at the Ten. And today we're at number five. Number five, which even if you're not familiar with the Ten Commandments were given thousands of years ago to Moses and to the people of Israel to set things, to give an understanding and a framework for how they were going to live as the people of God together. And these Ten Commandments are still used by followers of Jesus to describe how we live in relation to God and how we live in relation to people. So even if you're not familiar with the Ten Commandments, this one that we're going to talk about today, commandment number five, is the favorite of parents. I know it was the favorite of my parents. They talked to me about it a lot. And this one says, commandment number five, you can find it in Exodus 20:12. It says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. Now, sometimes my mom and dad would rephrase this, honor your father and mother if you want to live long in the house that your mom and dad have provided for you. Because sometimes, you know, apparently my behavior was not always as it should be. This is a commandment that is pretty well known to us, but it's one that even if you've never heard it before, especially if you're a parent, you can get behind this one. Especially if you've wrestled this week with trying to get your toddler or your preschooler or your grade schooler or your middle or high schooler to get on the right road with you, you can get behind the idea of honoring your father and mother and encouraging your children to do that. So it's a very well-known and very popular commandment. Now let's take a straw poll here real quick. How many of you in the room are parents? Anybody? We've got some parents in the room. Great. Good. How many of you in the room have ever had parents? Anybody? Okay. Good. All right. Good. Okay. So most of us in this room either are a parent or have had parents. So that means that this commandment applies to all of us. Honor your father and your mother. Now, what we want to say, and we have our senior hires are out on a retreat this morning. They're coming back in even as we speak, and they've been gone for this weekend. So some of their parents are here, and they're wishing that their senior hires were listening and hearing this. What we want to focus on with this commandment is honor your father and mother. So the kids that are living at home, they need to obey their parents. They need to listen to your parents. You need to do with what your parents says. Now, how many of you in this room, they're under 18, okay? Some of y'all are under 18. If you're under, I want all of you children, teenagers, listen to me. All of you who are 0 years old to 18 years old, I want you to listen to me real quick. How many of you have parents who are always right? Let me see your hands. Kids, anybody? Oh, good. Okay, good. I'm glad to know there's some parents who are always right. I'm going to be calling those parents because I need that help. None of the parents are always right, but all the parents doing the best they can to love their kids. And so obviously what this commandment means is for children who are living in their homes and still young enough to be under their parents' care, they are supposed to learn how to follow Jesus and learn how to obey their parents from their parents. It's an important thing. However, we're going to miss a whole lot of this commandment if we just stay there. So here's the deal, parents. I'm going to trust y'all to teach your children that are in your home. I'm going to trust y'all to teach your kids that their job is to learn from you and to obey you. And that it's your job to teach them discipline and teach them how to grow up into what we call in the Shepley family house, a regular adult life, whatever in the world that means. It's your job to grow them up there and to teach them. If you want to hear more about those kind of things our next series that we're going to do is going to be a series that's going to be called Honoring God with Your Work. That's the working title. So what we're going to be talking about is how our jobs honor God. And on Mother's Day, we're going to talk specifically about how stay-at-home moms and how working moms can balance this thing of working and being a parent at the same time. So we're going to deal with some of those parenting of the kids at home thing. But I want us to talk about something that's really hit me hard this week. I want us to talk about the depths and probe the depths of what it means to honor your father and mother. Because when you're talking about honoring your father and mother, it's nowhere near as simple as it sounds. How do you honor your father and mother if you're a child or you're a teenager and your parent displays toxic or even abusive behaviors? How do you honor your father or mother if you're a teenager and you're going home to an alcoholic parent? How do you honor your father and mother if you're an adult child and you're still enduring the shame, the guilt trips, and the judgment, and maybe even the emotional abuse from your parents? How do you honor your father and mother when you're a child of divorced parents and you still bear the scars from that? That's my story. Some of you may share that story. How do you honor your father and mother when you, as an adult child, have tried to have an honest conversation with your parents and tried to tell them how some of their words or actions or attitudes hurt you as a child, and yet their response was merely to dismiss your concerns, or worse, to offer you the conditional apology? You know what the conditional apology is, right? Well, I'm sorry what I said hurt you, but you need to understand you were a bad kid. You need to understand you were really hard to raise. A conditional apology is any of those apologies that say, well, I'm sorry, but. By the way, those don't work in marriage either, just in case you're wondering. I'm sorry, but. How do you honor your father and mother when they reach old age, whatever that means, and they can no longer live by themselves? How do you honor your father and mother when things get hard? As I've studied and prepared for this sermon, I've run across something in our culture. I thought it was just me, but it's not just me. I've run across that in our culture, the estrangement between adult children and their parents is on the rise. And it's on the rise in an exponential fashion. One writer started a blog for parents who are estranged from their children in significant ways, their adult children. And within a couple of months of setting up this blog, they had cataloged thousands of stories of parents with adult children where the relationship was simply fractured for all sorts of reasons. So many of those reasons defied explanation. And some of those reasons, in one case, the woman who writes this blog said, you know, I can kind of understand why the children needed a break, but that's something different. It's on the rise, this estrangement. We have a silent epidemic in our culture. I read on another source that 1 out of 10 adult children report being completely estranged from their parents. Completely estranged. They don't talk, connect at all in our culture. And that's not even talking about the ones who connect only by calling a few times a year, or only connect by showing up at holidays and enduring the stilted kind of relationship that happens. It's not talking about all of that estrangement that's there. We have an epidemic in our culture. And by the way, for all you folks who grew up in church, raising your kids in church does not guarantee that you won't end up estranged from your adult children one day. Matter of fact, there's no real difference according to research. Raising them in church, outside of church, you have an opportunity. Because your children are people and they have their own ability to choose. You can end up estranged. Parents and kids are walking away from one another in greater numbers than ever before. Actually, the adult children are 10 times more likely to walk away than the parents. The social media designation, it's complicated, doesn't even begin to describe how hard parent and adult-child relationships are. Honoring your father and mother in this kind of culture is more complicated than we want to make out. Now, I need to confess to you, this is deeply personal to me. So forgive me for having some of my stuff. Of course, when I preach, you always get me along with the scripture. There's no way not to. But particularly today, I lived estranged from my dad for 20 years. I lived with some serious issues with my mom for a number of years, and those issues aren't all fixed, but we love each other deeply and things are much better. But it's because of my parents' divorce. That was a big piece of this. And so when I think about estrangement, I think about my own story. And I'm sure there are many of you in here that are thinking about your story as well. My relationships with my parents are not perfect. They're better. We talk, we get along, but it's difficult. It's still a challenge. So what I want to do is just say a couple of things about how, as a parent of adult children, some things that might help make it work better. Now, these are going to be rooted in Scripture, but I'm not always going to be citing Scripture connected with it. But so for some of you who don't have adult children yet, you're just going to have to file this away. Some of it will help you with how you're parenting your children that are still at home as well. And I also hope it's really going to help the adult children that are in the room who are trying to figure out what's wrong with their parents. I mean, who are trying to figure out how they relate with their parents. I'm hoping it'll help us all a little bit as God teaches us. So let's just jump in, okay? First thing, if you remember, the command is honor your father and mother, right? If you want your children to honor you, start by honoring them. If you want your children to honor you, start by honoring them. There's a text in Galatians 6, 7 through 8 that applies to this. It actually is an old proverb. You may have heard this proverb all your life and never realized that it's in the Bible, but here's one of the places it actually shows up a number of times. Galatians 6, 7 through 8 says this: "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." You reap what you sow. What you throw out into your children's lives is most often what you're going to get back from your children when they become adults. If you throw love, encouragement, kindness, and forgiveness into their lives, most likely when they become adults, yes, you're going to have to navigate the adult piece of this. You're going to have to navigate the boundaries, but most often you are going to get love and respect back if you pour love and respect into their lives. If you pour hurtful words, if you pour guilt, if you pour manipulation, if you pour any of those things into their lives, those are the things that are going to return to you. Or worse, they're not going to return to you at all, because those things have hurt them so much that being in your presence has become something that they've identified as toxic. Now, understand, friends, you do reap what you sow, not just in your relationships with your children, but you reap what you sow in terms of what you pour into other people. Now, wait a minute, Randy, it doesn't always work that way. I know. There are plenty of cases where there are parents who did a great job, at least from all we see on the outside. They did a great job pouring in encouragement, pouring in discipline that's needed, because you need discipline in raising your children. You can't let your children make their own choices when they're four about most things. Some things you can, but most of the time you can't. They are trusting you to be the parent. They're trusting you to be the one who will teach them how to have discipline, how to have routines, how to have rules in their lives. That's your job, to impart those things into them. Most of the time, when you do that, they will turn into regularly functioning adults, whatever that means. Sometimes, you will still end up estranged. And you will have done most of the things right. Okay, friends, let's just go ahead, and in the church, we're particularly bad at this. So let's just go ahead and own up to it, and let's stop it. Let's just go ahead and stop judging people for how their kids turn out. Let's go ahead and stop, because I promise you, they feel bad enough about it already. They are hurting more than you can know. So why should the church be the place that heaps more hurt on people when they're already hurting? Pour into your kids honor, and you will be more likely to get them honoring you back. That is simply the way things work most of the time. If you want to be honored by your children, then you need to honor your children. Friends, even if you've never been in church all your life, if this is the first time you've been in a church setting in years, You know that this is true. Secular rock singers know this is true. What's the classic song? Can't remember. Cat Stevens, what is it? Cats in the Cradle, Silver Spoon, Little Boy Blue and the Man in the Moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then. I know we'll have a good time then. And guess what? Dad doesn't ever quite make it home. And what happens? He'd grown up just like me. You reap what you sow. What you put into your kids most of the time is what's going to come out of your kids when they're adults. Second thing, listen to your children. Listen to your children. Listen to what they say to you. Have conversations with them. Talk to them. Now, I understand. I've been there. There are times when you think, oh my gosh, will they ever stop talking? Okay? I understand that. There was a commercial years ago, a McDonald's commercial, where there was a toddler chattering in the background. She was just talking and talking and talking. The only thing they could do to get it to be quiet was to get her a milkshake. How did that work as parents? I mean, come on, really. You know, McDonald's, don't let McDonald's do your parenting for you, okay? Really. There are times when they just were like, oh my gosh, how can they even breathe? They're talking so much. But then they become middle schoolers and high schoolers and college students, and they go off to school and you don't talk to them every day. And then they get into the workforce, whether they do that right after high school or whether they do that after college or whether they go off into the military or whatever it is they do. There's less time and less time to talk to them. And then, you know what those rascals do? They go off and they get married. And then they have their own family. Now that's happening later and later nowadays. Average age for an adult male getting married now is 31. So there's a lot of singleness that's involved. And that's natural and normal now. That's the way this works. But whatever the case, they go off and they become their own person. How dare they? And you talk less. Friends, when they talk to you, when your adult child talks to you, when your toddler, when your middle schooler, when your high schooler talks to you, listen to them. Listen. Don't do that thing where you hear every word they're saying, but your mind is somewhere else. Focus your full attention on them and listen to them. Ask them questions about their day. Ask them questions about what's going on in their world. Ask them questions about how they're feeling about things. Ask them questions. If they're an adult child living in a new city, ask them about their apartment. Ask them about their boss. Ask them about how things are going. Ask them about their favorite restaurant they found. Whatever it might be, ask them questions and listen to them. Don't interrupt them. Listen to them. Don't try to fix everything they bring up. Listen to them. Because guess what happens if you don't listen? They stop talking to you. Listening is the ultimate gift of love, friends. It's true in a marriage. It's true with your children. It's true if you are a leader at work and you want to love and care for the people that you lead. You have to pay enough attention to them to listen to them and hear them where they are, even if you don't like what you're hearing. Listen to them. Now, moving on with that, this is coupled with listening. When your adult child, when your child gets to adulthood, one of the things you can do is you can have regular conversations about the expectations of your relationship. By the way, married couples ought to do that too. Regular conversations about expectations. What do you mean? Well, if your child goes off to college and you're expecting them to call every single day, or text every single day, or FaceTime every single day, and they end up, on average, FaceTiming you two or three times a week, you're going to be tempted to be disappointed. Because you had an expectation for them that they are not making. An expectation, by the way, that you never talked over with them. So when they go off to college, when they go off into the work world, get your expectations clear about how often y'all are going to communicate. Now, this isn't a rigid thing, but let's make sure that things are clear so everybody's on the same page. When you move into your own home, get your expectations clear about what that means, both from the adult child and the parent's perspective. Does that mean now that the adult child living in your community has their own home, does that mean that they can show up for dinner at your house whenever they want? You probably want to have a conversation about that before it starts happening and people get mad at each other. Does that mean as the parent you can just walk into your child's home anytime that you want? You probably want to have an expectation about that before it starts happening. Those kind of conversations can solve and save a world of hurt if you can make those things clear ahead of time. Now, there'll be some that you miss, but if you can have those conversations ahead of time, it will make things so much smoother. Conversations about how you're going to spend holidays, those things are huge. Have some expectations conversations. By the way, one of those that's a really good idea to talk about is say to your adult child, you know, you're an adult now and I trust you and I love you, but sometimes you're going to do some things and be in some situations that I've already done before, and I want to let you know, if you ask for my advice or if you want my advice, you're going to need to ask me, or I'm going to ask before I give you advice. It's a great rule. Tell your adult children, I am more than willing to help you. I'm more than willing to give you my counsel, but I want you to ask, or I'm going to ask before I give it to you. And then if they say no, by all means, don't give it to them. Because see, here's what they hear when you're constantly giving them advice. What you think you're saying is, I love you, I love you, I love you. I don't want you to make mistakes here. What they hear you saying is, I don't think you can do this. I don't think you can handle this even though you're an adult. That's what they hear. So set some expectations about how you're going to give and receive advice. And then when your young adult wants it, they can come and ask. And you can give it, knowing it's truly wanted. Let's keep moving on. Parents and adult children must set appropriate boundaries with one another. Boundaries. You have to be able to say, okay, over this line, we're not going to cross. Over that line, we're not going to cross. These are so critically important. So many parent-child relationships are undermined because one or the other are just constantly stepping over lines that they should not cross. What do we mean? How do parents overstep boundaries with adult children? Now, I've mentioned a couple already, like giving advice when it's not wanted, trying to fix things when the adult children, they can handle it themselves. By the way, you do understand, there are times in the life of parenting that we have to let children handle things themselves. Now, as a parent, it kills us. But there are times that we have to let them handle things themselves because we can't do it for them. The good news is we get practice doing this all through their growing up years so that by the time they're adults, we ought to be good at this. Because guess what? You can't parent a 12-year-old the same way you parent a 2-year-old. It doesn't work. You can't parent a 16-year-old the same way you parent a 12-year-old. Now, you may have the same values, you may have the same rules, but how you ask for obedience is different. How you encourage obedience is different. There are times when you will have to let your children live with their decisions and live with the things that they do. You will want to step in to rescue them. You will want to step in and fix it for them, but there will be times where you can't, and there will be times that you shouldn't, so that their character can grow and they can be ready for that regular adult life, whatever that means. So thinking about these boundaries, parents, I have a couple of boundaries here that you do not ever need to cross. First one, do not disrespect the adult child spouse. Do not disrespect the adult child spouse. If you want to ruin your relationship with your adult child, smear the spouse. If you want to make estrangement a much higher probability, insult the person that they married. If you want to ensure that you will have fractious holidays for the rest of your life, talk negatively about your adult child's husband or wife. Make snide remarks about them at family holidays. Ask inappropriate, passive-aggressive questions to him or her that are designed to embarrass him or her. Treat him or her with aloofness and disrespect. Throw a temper tantrum, a fit worthy of a child, when you do not get your way at Christmas because of the spouse. Now, whenever your adult child gets married, there's always an adjustment period. There's natural adjustments that everybody has to navigate. That's where those expectation conversations come in really handy. There are natural things that have to be navigated. But I promise you, if you want to set your parent and adult child relationship up for failure, you spend your energy denigrating their spouse, and you'll get there. But Randy, wait a minute. She married a loser. Fine. He's her loser. And as the parent, if you love her, you will love him. Now, if he abuses her, if he leaves her, that's a different conversation. I am in no way advocating for you supporting a spouse that's abusing your son or your daughter. That is a different conversation. Abuse, we bring legal authorities in there without any apology, because we're not going to let our children or anyone else get wounded or harmed. We're not going to let that happen. We're not going to let them harm our grandchildren or our children. Abuse is a different conversation. What I'm talking about is you just don't like him. You just don't like her. He's not good enough for her. He doesn't make enough money for her. He doesn't talk the way you talk. He doesn't do things the way you do things. He doesn't believe what you believe. I'm talking about those things that lead you to denigrate him to your child. You want to ruin a relationship, that'll do it. And it'll do it almost every time. Another one. Overbearing and undermining your children when they parent. In other words, the grandparents stepping in and trying to do the parents' job. Now, I know I'm trampling on sacred ground here. Wait a minute. Don't tell me what to do with my grandchild. No, Jesus ain't going to tell me what to do with my grandchild. I mean, folks, let's go back to something really basic here. In an ideal world, who is responsible for raising their children? The parent. Now, we have some things in our world where things have gone wrong, and grandparents are raising children. Lord, love those folks. Pray for them. Give them strength, because they are stepping in and doing something that was the parents' job. I'm grateful that they're doing that. But that was not the design. The design is that parents are supposed to raise children. Which means, grandparents, your job is to love your grandchildren, not to raise them. Yes, you influence them. Yes, you help. But your job is to love them. It's the parents' job to raise them. So, when your adult child tells you, do not give the grandchildren sugar tonight. Don't give them sugar tonight. When your child tells you, please stop feeding my child, your grandchild, ice cream for supper. Stop feeding them ice cream for supper. You didn't feed your child ice cream for supper. When your child tells you to not take their grandchild to that movie, and you want to say, well, they're America, my grandchild, it's my money, I'll take them to the movie I want to. Stop. It's not your decision which movies your grandchildren get to see. It is the parents' decision. When your child, the child that you bore and raised, tells you, Mom, Dad, I know you love your grandchildren, but in the name of all that is good, please stop giving each grandchild 336 Christmas presents each. And just give them one. Then grandparents, please give them one, because your child asked you to. And please do not be the grandparent that, when your child disciplines your grandchild, allows the grandchild to run to grandma or granddad and say, Mama did this, and you go to your daughter and say, oh, come on now, she didn't deserve that. Folks, you are way out of line. That is not the grandparent's job. Now again, if the parent has forfeited their job and the grandparent ends up with custody, that's a different conversation. What I am talking about is just the grandparent who says, it's my right to spoil my grandchildren. I haven't found that in here yet. It's your right and your responsibility to love your children and support them, because parenting is hard. And they need grandparents who will let them cry with them and let them share, and who will listen, because parenting is hard. Those kind of grandparents are worth their weight in gold. Sometimes parents just need a grandparent who they can trust to be with the kids, so they can go out and just have an adult conversation. You can be that grandparent. Those grandparents are more precious than silver. Now, parents, there's some boundaries you have to set for your adult children too. You may have to tell your adult children that you can watch the grandchildren 2 days per week, but you can't watch them six. You may have to tell your children that they're always welcome at your house, but they need to call you or text you first. You may have to tell your adult children no when they make another financial request of you. You will have to set up boundaries so that your adult children can make their own decisions. And they may fall flat on their face, but guess what? You did too sometimes. And you survived. And God raised you up. And God helped you get moving again. Your job isn't to protect your children from failure. Your job is to help your children know how to manage failure so that they can grow from it. Because guess what? This world is unkind and painful. And you will experience failure when you grow up in your life. Failure, you teach them how to overcome it. You don't insulate them from it. Another word for us this morning: whether you're an adult child dealing with estrangement issues with your parents, or whether you're the parent, this is a good word for us, straight from the Word of God. Practice forgiveness rather than blame. Practice forgiveness for your parents. Forgiveness for your adult children rather than blame. Randy, my parents don't deserve forgiveness. You have no idea what they did to me. Friends, you don't forgive your parents because they deserve it. You forgive them because you need it. Because if you don't forgive your parents, if you don't work through the process, and you may need to go to a counselor to work through that process, you may need to be with some friends, you certainly will need some prayer, you will need all of these things. But if you don't work through the process of forgiveness for your parents, what's going to happen is resentment is going to grow in your soul. Bitterness is going to well up inside of you as you remember every wound that they visited upon you. And you know what's going to happen? Those wounds and that bitterness are going to come out into your life. They're going to be visited upon your spouse. They're going to be visited upon your coworkers. And worst of all, you will visit those wounds upon your own children. You know it's true. You've looked in the mirror, parents, and you've seen in the mirror that your children are both the best and the worst of you. And if you are not careful, if you do not learn, engage a process of forgiveness, not because your parents deserve it, not because you want to excuse what they did, you will be overwhelmed by bitterness and resentment, and you will shrivel your soul and be unable to love. Parents, if you don't forgive your adult children, your heart will slowly turn to stone as bitterness takes over. You do not forgive them because they deserve it. You forgive them because you need it for your own emotional and spiritual health. Now understand something. When you forgive your parents or forgive your children, you're not excusing anything. You're not making excuses for what they've done. It's not about them. It's about what you need for your own healing. Practice forgiveness. Now, one thing to say as we close. We all need to prepare for the day when we have to start parenting our own parents. We all need to prepare for the day when our kids start parenting us. In our 8:30 service today, I looked across a whole room of people. People who were nursing their parents. People who were helping their parents. People who had nursed their parents until they were gone back to heaven and eternity. And as I look across this room, people are struggling with how to care for aging parents. I was at one of my favorite places this week, one of my favorite sermon writing places. I was sitting at my table, one that I always have. It's got an outlet next to it. I'm writing there, and it's a sit-down restaurant, and all of a sudden I hear this conversation taking place. I look over from behind where I was, and it's an old woman. Bless her heart. I'm sure I wouldn't say that if she was sitting here, but let's just be honest. She was an old woman, and her daughter was with her, and then it looked like a grandson, grown grandson. They were all sitting together eating, and it was just the sweetest conversation. It went kind of like this. Mom says, "I don't know what I want." The daughter says, "Mom, last time you had the shrimp plate with the sweet potato fries, and you really liked it." Mom, "But it's so much food." Daughter, "You can take it home and eat it tonight." Mom, "But what if I want chicken?" Daughter, "Then have chicken. Theirs is really good." Eventually, they ordered. I don't know what she ordered. I missed that part. And the conversation began again. "Mom, I need to take my pill." Daughter, looking in her mom's purse. "Mom, your pill's not in its case. You must have already taken it." "Mom, I didn't take it. You need to give me another one." Daughter, "Mom, if I give you another one and you already took the other one, then it's going to really cause problems." "Mom, I need to take it." And then I happened to see from around my corner, the daughter just put her hand on her mom's shoulder and said, "Mom, your next one's due in 2 hours. Let's just make sure. It'll be okay." And mom calmed down. And they had a lunch together. Now, friends, I don't know at all the dynamics going on there. I can guess. I'm sure there are some ups and downs in this mom and daughter relationship over the years. But when mom needed it, when mom cannot do for herself anymore, daughter was there, putting up with her mom's idiosyncrasies, making it work. Friends, I pray that we will do all we can as parents and as adult children to be able to be at that place one day. because there's another way it can go. Years ago, I went to a hospital room. There was a lady in our church who was dying. She wasn't going to be long. They were going to actually remove plugs and things like that, and she wanted me to pray with her before they did that. Her children, adult children, had traveled in from across the country. And I stood there in that room while these three adult children walked in, looked at their mother, stood there for a minute or two, and walked out. The last one said, "Well, serves her right." The doctor caught them as they were heading out and said, "Do you want to stay with your mom until it's over?" And they said, "No, thanks." And I said, "Is it okay with y'all if I stay?" And they said, "Yes, it's fine." So I stayed with her and held her hand as they pulled the plugs and as she breathed her last. I have no idea what was so broken that made that scene possible. I do know that there are some very good people who have parents that were in relationships that were very hard, and they will end up fractured. What I know, friends, is that I want to do everything in my life to make sure that that's not the way my story ends, at least on this planet. So, friends, the challenge is very simple. Let's honor our father and mother the best they will let us. Let's pour into our children honor. Let's pour into our children grace and love and mercy. Let's pour into them forgiveness. Let's forgive our parents and forgive our children. Let's forgive so that we do not pour wounds into someone else. And let's do it with the power of Jesus Christ, because we cannot do it in our own strength. Lord Jesus, on this Children's Sunday, we thank you for all the